Let's say hello now to Jim Wilson, who's in Cove at his home in Cork. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Derek. Hello, Niall.
No elephants down there at the moment, I take it?
Not that I've seen, anyway, no.
How are you? Anything strange happening in Cove these days?
The goldfinches have found the Niger seed today. All of a sudden, we've got five or six of them. We keep some teasels, which I know a lot of gardeners would be horrified at the idea of having teasels in your garden.
Why?
Well, they were often thought as, you know, weeds and things that are hard to control because they produce an awful lot of little teasels the following year after flowering and turning to seed. But we're able to control them. We just keep an eye out. They're very easy to identify as soon as they sprout. So they're easy to control. But we have a couple of them just outside the window. And this morning we had a view of three of them on the teasels busily taking those seeds out, oh, wow. Which only the goldfinches can do, really. The other finches don't really try them because they don't have the beak that's the right shape and size for picking them out. And it was just glorious. Other than that, you know, a redwing we had flying over recently. So they're coming in from Scandinavia. Lapwings as well flying overhead. We had ravens being mobbed by hooded crows because even now ravens are even thinking towards breeding because they're one of the first to breed in the year, and hooded crows were mobbing them, trying to get them to go away, but they're much, much bigger. So yeah, you know, the seasons are changing. A few rare birds about as well, some dusky warblers down in West Cork, which have come all the way from Asia, you know, much further east than here. There's been a few American birds as well. A lot happening. Really
happening
nice.
It's all happening there by the sounds of it. I wonder, will the ravens nest again on the campus at UCC? I went down to see them last year. It was a terrific side, I have to say, and I hope they do. And speaking of feeding the birds, Jim, this is the time of year when people should really start putting the feed back out again, put up the hanging feeders. Yeah. And we have recycled your guide to garden birds, which is on our website as speak. So you'll see waders and garden birds because on the 30th of December, we're doing a live broadcast from both Jim's garden and from Dollymount on RT Radio 1 between 9 and 11. Just go onto the website now, you can find out all about it. But actually, you can read about the waders and you can read about the garden birds. And Jim did two wonderful guides over the years for us, and we have them up there so you can see them. Anyway, let's get on with tonight's programme. I want to say hello now to Bernie Murphy. Bernie got in touch with us and she sent us in two wonderful images of egrets. One is a little egret and the other is a great white egret or a great egret. They're both white, and at first glance you would think they're the same, but they're not. Anyway, let's say hello to Bernie. Hello, Bernie. Where exactly are you? Because I can hear a lot of traffic noise there.
Hi, Derek. I'm in Bunclody here on the main street. I sent you in two pictures of the one was of the little egret and the other one was of the great white egret. And I had been watching the grey heron on the River Slaney in Bunclody here for the last week and was with a little egret. So I went back down yesterday to have a look to see could I see the little egret again. And a great white egret appeared. It flew up along the river and then into the field just where the, below the bridge, just where the Clody River flows into the Slaney. And then it flew across into the field and it just walked along very slowly along the field and then just flew up along very close to where I was standing and just kept staring into the ground and walking really, really slowly.
Now, can I ask, how did you know that they were two different birds? Because when I looked at the photographs you sent in first on the email, I thought, are they not two little egrets? And then I looked at them more closely and thought, no, there are differences. But did you know that you were looking at two different birds straight away?
Initially, I didn't. First of all, I thought it was the little egret that was there again because it flew from a good distance up the river. And then the beaks are different colours. The great white egret is much, much bigger anyway than it's kind of the size of a heron. But the little egret is much, much smaller. It has a yellow beak, the great white egret, and the little egret has a black beak. And the little egret has yellow feet as well, but the great white egret has black legs and black feet. That's the differences in them, and it's the size difference is the biggest thing.
Now, I had to do some checking because I didn't know we had the great white egret here in Ireland. I knew about the little egret thanks to our man in Cork, Jim Wilson. Jim, you must have introduced me to the little egret, oh my goodness, 25 years ago or thereabouts?
Oh, Derek, I don't think we should be counting at this stage. We'll say it was a while ago.
Tell me about the great white egret now.
I know. I mean, it's like a procession of white birds turning up, and they all look like they're kind of cousins or related. You remember, obviously, very clearly the little egret, mm-hmm. which we had many, many years ago. And they're now well established here in Ireland, and they're breeding here and everything. And in recent years, the number of records of its larger cousin, the great white egret, or sometimes called just the great egret, have started to appear. There's more and more records. And now, I mean, not far from here, up near Macroom in County Cork, there's up to 5 great white egrets at the moment in one place, in the Gira, which is a magnificent nature reserve just outside Macroom. And we even have them in Harper's Island, which many of your listeners are familiar with now, the wetland reserve there. And I had one on Sunday. I was coming home with my wife after seeing our son play a fantastic gig in the jazz festival in Cork City. And the train goes right through the estuary between Cork and Cove. And as we left Forta station, heading out across the estuary, lo and behold, out from just under us flew a great white egret. They're definitely on the up here. And when you see them on their own, sometimes you might do a double take because you've no sense of scale sometimes. And you might say, that must be a little egret. But as rightly and brilliantly described there, they're much bigger when you see them closer, and they've got that yellow beak. Now, there is another one that's starting to make its way in here as well, called the cattle egret. People may be familiar with the bird if they've seen any programmes on Africa, especially with elephants or rhinoceroses. These are the little white herons that follow them along, and what they're doing is trying to pick up insects and beetles and all sorts of things that they're disturbing as they walk with their very big bodies and big feet. But that one also has a yellow beak, but it's the size of the little egret. The great white egret, as the name suggests, is the tallest of them. It's as big as our own grey heron, and it's just amazing that they're turning up all over the place now.
Jim, they really are fascinating birds. They really are hulking great things, but very elegant with it. And they especially when you see them in flight, one of the ways that I'd often distinguish them from the others is that the legs really trail behind them. So even if you can't see the colour of the legs, you'd notice this sort of really rakish, elegant, but elongated-looking bird. And of course, like the other herons and egrets, when they fly, they fold their neck in almost like an S shape. So they don't have this, when they're at rest or on the ground, you see this big, long neck, but in flight, they can actually look short-necked, or give that impression at least. This is a bird that really has been changing its range rapidly in the last couple of decades, particularly in Europe. It's found over huge parts of the world. It's one of the most widespread birds in the whole world, widespread in Asia and Africa, much of Europe, North America and South America. But it's only recently that started really to move more northerly and westerly in Europe. They've colonised the Netherlands, where it's now quite a common breeding species. And going back a couple of decades, nobody knew that was going to be on the cards. It's breeding quite widely in still in small numbers, but increasing numbers in Britain. Breeding's been recorded now, not just in southern England, where you might expect it, but also in Scotland. So maybe it's only a matter of time before they follow the little egret and start to breed here. And of course, what might be driving that? Well, it would suggest perhaps climate change is playing a role. We believe that's why little egrets arrived in Ireland. It's why it would seem cattle egrets were expanding their range. So when it comes to climate change, we often talk about the creatures that will lose, but some birds are winners and gain from this. And it seems perhaps that the great white egret is one of those.
So you think the great white egret is a winner?
Well, so far at least. I mean, the thing is, of course, as climate change continues and as climates become and weather becomes more unpredictable, maybe that's only a temporary thing. Maybe it'll
Yeah, but I was going to say to you, is there competition between the two? You take the great white egret, you take the little egret, and as Jim and Bernie has pointed out, there's a huge difference in size. Are they competing for the same food? Will the great white egret, like the grey squirrel, push out the red as it did with the squirrel? Will it push out the little egret? What do you think, Niall, Jim?
Well, I think they do occupy separate niches. So we know in much of southern Europe, for example, and many parts of Africa and Asia, that these species, plus many other types of heron and egret and bittern, all coexist side by side and all seem to thrive. You'd even sometimes see mixed colonies where they're all nesting together or in very close proximity to each other. So it seems that they do have different foraging strategies. People would have seen this perhaps already by watching the grey heron and then the more recent arrival of the little egret, which, as Jim said, is now quite widespread in Ireland. The little egret is a more active hunter larger and eats smaller prey, but they dash around after their food, whereas the grey heron is more patient. It sort of stands and waits and can wait for hours sometimes before a fish or a frog or a rat or something goes past and just grabs it with its beak. The feeding behaviour of the great white egret's a bit different again. I often associate them with sort of longer stands of reed, long grass, mm-hmm. areas where they walk around like this in a sort of very purposeful kind of manner. They're not as frantic as a little egret would be, and they can hunt larger prey as well. So I think that they can probably coexist side by side, and then put the cattle egret into the mix. That's a bird that, as the name suggests, often associates with livestock, not necessarily with cattle, but sometimes with horses, sometimes even with pigs. They just have this affinity for them. Sometimes you'll even see them standing on the backs of those animals. And yeah, I think because they've evolved these different niches and they've been living side by side in other countries for a very long time, I don't think they'll compete with each other here in Ireland.
One could argue that, you know, climate change, if it's driven by us, then the great white egret is sort of here because of us to a degree. It's not quite the same as you were mentioning, Derek, like the grey and the red squirrel insofar as
they've kind of...
They weren't flown in, the great white egrets, and dropped, you know, in Wexford, like Bernie's seen. They've made their own way here.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, though, would one push out the other given one?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
different feeding strategies, and they kind of live in different little niches along the rivers and our lakes, mm-hmm. then maybe not, as Niall has said. I'm just wondering out loud.
Yeah, and even as Bernie beautifully described, that heron has no problem hunting in wet grasslands and fields and things as well, and it probably was looking for things like frogs, even earthworms. They're not very, very fussy eaters. It's not just fish, so it'll remain very interesting to see how the two large ones, because I used always be able to tell people when I was showing them birds, or, you know, on a Birdwatch Ireland outing or you know, training course or whatever, it's very easy, you know, the little egret won't go any near any of the food for the grey heron because they're running around all over the place looking for smaller stuff, while the grey heron stands still, as Niall said, and they'll go for bigger prey. But now you've got a bird which is roughly the same size, I mean a wingspan of almost 1.5 metres, 1.4 metres, and weighing about the same size in old money as a bag of sugar, a kg, 2 pounds in weight. So that's a much bigger bird, and similar but slightly different strategies, and it will be fascinating to watch how they're changing. But for people like myself and Niall, who've been obsessed with birds since we were kids, to see these things happening in our lifetime and have people like Bernie be able to come along and take some photographs and send them in, and you're kind of going, wow, this just watching nature around us change so rapidly is incredible.
Bernie, I'm just curious, did you happen to see the egret, the grey white egret actually feeding? Did you see what it was catching, if so? And did you notice, did it and the little egret interact? Was the little egret wary of it, or did it ignore it?
The little egret wasn't with the great white egret yesterday. The little egret was with the grey heron the past week, but they were closely together when they were fishing. You could see them fishing, but one didn't bother the other. The grey heron was in the river yesterday, or on the river, and the great white egret flew up. Now, if they were quite far apart from each other, they were feeding independently. And I didn't see I could see the great white egret, you know, leaning down as if it was eating something, but mostly staring, I think, and watching and walking very gracefully along and just kind of lifting its leg up very, very slowly as it was walking, like just looking for something, you would imagine.
One of the things that I love most about the little egret, one of its foraging methods, is it has those yellow feet, as we heard, and it puts them in the water, and it wiggles its toes and sort of stamps around.
The egret shuffle, Niall.
Yes. Absolutely. Which I think is really interesting to see that. Have you seen that with the little egret yourself, Bernie?
No, I had seen the little egret not shuffling like the way you're describing it. It flew back and forth a few times across the river. Did go into the river, just kind of, it wasn't shuffling, no, definitely, but it did put its beak down, or its, you know, its head down, and then the beak went into the water, but it didn't shuffle as it was doing that.
I must say, Bernie, the photographs, by the way, they're really beautiful. You're obviously a very accomplished photographer. Maybe you could, if you're lucky someday, maybe try to get all these herons and egrets in one shot. That'd be a great picture.
Great, all right, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy taking photographs of wildlife, to be honest, but I'm an amateur.
No, you're better than an amateur, I think. I
mean, no, they were really fantastic.
Fantastic photographs. Anyway, Bernie, please do keep in touch with us and let us know if you spot anything else.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Bye. There goes Bernie. It's great to have a listener like Bernie, somebody who actually has a very keen eye for wildlife, but knows how to use a camera, Jim.
it helps an awful lot. But and even now with the mobile phones all having cameras, if you see something like that, or indeed, I'm sure we've mentioned it before, anything in your garden or when you're out for a walk, take a photograph. And even if it looks like, we always say in our day, it was the Loch Ness monster shot, you know, grainy, fuzzy. You'd be amazed what poor unfortunates like myself and Niall, who've been staring at birds for too long, what we can identify from what looks like a blob, you know. So take the shot, even if it's quite distant. We'd love to hear from other people, yep, possibly seeing great white egrets or the cattle egrets or indeed any of those herons. Spoonbills is another one that are turning up here. They all are basically white-bodied birds. So we'd love to see that. But don't be afraid to take, even if you think you've got your humble little camera phone, take the shot, send it in to us, and we'll do our best to make some sense of it. Absolutely.
And can I just say, don't interfere with the bird, and particularly during the breeding season, you know, Bernie took those photographs at a discreet distance, and you should do the same. Do not interfere with wildlife if you're trying to photograph it. Stay away is the rule, and indeed the law, not just the rule, it happens to be the law as well. Stay there if you would, guys.